Put a disparate group of 12 people together in a small room, assume they don't have much in common, and then expect them to agree on a person's fate or a business's future. That could be asking a lot, but that's the foundation of the jury system in the U.S.
11 guilty, 1 not guilty. Well, now we know where we are.
Boy, oh boy, there's always one.
Oh, what are we doing now?
I guess we talk.
The 1957 film 12 Angry Men included one juror working, not necessarily to convince his fellow jurors that they were wrong, but rather that prejudging, especially in a murder case, didn't make sense and wasn't fair. That may have been the glory days of the jury system. Now there's concern among some in the legal profession about the so-called vanishing jury. Social psychologist Dr. Drury Sherrod has worked on jury selection for decades and is author of the new book, The Jury Crisis: What's Wrong with Jury Trials and How We Can Save Them. Drew, first, how would you characterize the current condition of this country's jury system, both in terms of how they're selected and what jurors bring to the table when they're on cases?
Well, could we frame it first in terms of the crisis? Because that's what's pretty staggering. I mean, what we're witnessing is the death of the jury trial in America. It's a phenomenon called the vanishing jury, and you read a lot about it in legal circles and bar association journals, psychology research, but most people don't know because most people read about hung trials, mistrials, hung juries, and runaway verdicts. Part of what jurors think, what people think about juries are that they're just nutty. They arrive at crazy verdicts. We can't understand them. They can't understand evidence. We should bail on the whole system and turn it over to experts.
We always talk about the jury of our peers. Can we have more confidence the judges are going to be more knowledgeable, certainly, but judges have their own biases too. Is there a situation where we need to change the system about how we choose jurors? Is there any way to regulate actually getting more people involved? Because it seems as though those who end up on juries are those who really want to, and in many cases, those who, let's say, don't have as much to do. They're not quite as busy as some other people might be.
Well, that's a good point. Over my 30 years as a jury consultant, I've done lots of jury selection and worked on lots of trials, real trials and mock trials. What happens in the jury selection level, there are really two factors. The first is just who gets jury summons. Turns out that the very rich and the very poor can manage to get out of summons or never receive them in the first place or just ignore them. And many states are pretty lax in how they enforce people exercising their jury duty, exercising their summons. So one thing is to make sure that more people get their summons and make sure that more people show up. Like even in some states, you can be stopped for not showing up for jury duty when you get a speeding ticket because it's in the computer record. People do show up, then fewer strikes. There's too many peremptory strikes, probably, too many strikes for cause. To make sure the jury does represent more a jury of one's peers and the whole diversity of society instead of just retired people, housewives, students, people who have nothing else to do.
How big a problem is not just what individual jurors bring to a trial in terms of their biases, which we all have to some extent, and how much of it is that they are somehow either not understanding enough of the technical things that are happening in a trial, and how much in some cases where if one attorney is more articulate than the other, the juries are, how much does that play into what you're talking about, sort of how our minds work?
Attorneys think their goal is to make the juror like them. And jurors will say, when you ask in the questionnaires, what did you think of the attorney? What jurors like best is the attorney who makes the case clearer, not the one who is sort of most charismatic. So often they might criticize an attorney's technique, but still like the attorney for making the case clearer. On the bias issue, everyone brings biases. It can't be worked around. And when the judge instructs jurors not to make up their mind until they've heard all the evidence, it's not possible. The brain was evolved to jump to conclusions, to tell stories, and to do that instead of looking at statistical, analytical evidence. You think, well, why not switch to judges? Would judges be biased? And the answer is absolutely. And as we know, Supreme Court justices are, in fact, selected for the biases. And so my view is that it's better to have the biases distributed around, say, 6 to 12 people on the jury instead of concentrating it in one expert. And the expert could be a judge, it could be an arbitrator, a mediator, a hired private judge. We've done lots of bench trial, mock trials, where we find that judges disagree among themselves, argue about who's right, even call each other names, that they are as biased and as troubled by making decisions as jurors may be.
Once they get behind closed doors and jurors are deliberating, are there ways to make these deliberations more effective? Are the suggestions that you would have, and I'm not sure if these would affect potentially the fairness of a trial or not, but are there ways to choose juries or to get jurors more prepared for what they need to be discussing? And not, I'm not saying they do this, but and not gossip, let's say, instead of focusing on what the real key issues are in the trial and what's been presented to them already?
You know, we've done a lot of post-trial jury interviews, and this is one of the areas where I think I have rare knowledge that most lawyers and judges and court systems don't have, because I've spent on scores and scores of cases. I have called up half a dozen of the jurors on the trial and just spent 2 hours talking to them and asking them how they decided what they decided. And I've heard so many stories. For example, a juror will say, you know, we didn't even know what deliberations mean. No one told us. And they would say that they would spend, almost a day or two sending notes back and forth to the judge asking, what does a reasonably designed vehicle look like? What does ordinary care mean? How do we appraise risk? And once again, people from different backgrounds answer these questions differently. And they spend a lot of time on the last Bill Cosby trial, for example, the first Cosby trial before the second one went to a verdict. The first one, I think, was 6 days of evidence and then an even longer period of deliberations where jurors said they spent a whole day discussing the meaning of the word reckless. What does it mean to be reckless?
Are there viable suggestions you think that could be accepted? And would those have to be implemented by a state-by-state basis? Is there something in a bigger picture you would envision?
I think the answer is that we have to respect the way the human brain works, to work with the brain instead of against the brain. And if you imagine what it's like for a juror to be selected, and then sit through a 6-week trial, say, on the design of a laser patent or something. This is like if you were picked up off the street and put in a college course on physics, and then you were told you can't take notes and you can't ask questions, and it goes on for, say, 6 weeks, and you're supposed to remember everything. And at the end of the 6 weeks, then the judge gives you instructions, not at the first, but at the end, when he tells you what standards of evidence you have to employ in reaching a verdict. So at that point, they've already sat through 6 bewildering weeks.
Yeah.
They really have no idea why we're there, what to look for, and then they finally get instructions, and they think, oh, if I knew that sooner, I might have done a better job. So there are lots of ways the system can be refined, you know, from who even gets their summons, to who gets selected and put on a jury, to when you do the judge's instructions, and attorneys, being more respectful of the brain and the fact that the brain tells stories, can organize evidence into stories, into narratives, and present the narratives early on during the opening statements.
Well, that's Dr. Drury Sherrod. He is a social psychologist, co-founder of Mattson and Sherrod. He's also author of the new book we've been talking about called The Jury Crisis, What's Wrong with Jury Trials and How We Can Save Them. Drew, thanks for the time today.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Enjoyed it.